Well, dear friends, please turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel according to John, chapter 3. John, chapter 3, and reading verses 12 and 13. John chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. If I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And our subject is the Master of heavenly things. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Master of heavenly things. Well, dear friends, we continue in our series through the Gospel according to John after what has been a pretty lengthy break. And I'll spend a fair bit of time this evening just recapping on various things that we have already considered, and then looking at just a brief portion of the verses in question from verse 10 down to verse 13. So we'll look only at a small portion of chapter 3, and we have been working our way quite slowly through this chapter, and the reason being because there is so much in this chapter, chapter 3 of the Gospel according to John, that is so profound and that is so important. The teaching in this chapter and the doctrines that are presented here are so very important that if we fail to understand these things, if we fall short of our understanding of what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying here and stating here, well, it may well be the case that we will fall short of what it is to be truly saved and what it is to be truly Christian, to be truly right with God, to truly be in the kingdom of God. You must be born again, said the Lord Jesus Christ, or you will not see the kingdom of God. He cannot see the kingdom of God unless we be born again. And we have to recap, of course, on just a few of the things that we have considered on this great and vital subject. We must be born again. Well, very simply, what does that mean? We must be born again. First of all, of course, it means we cannot be physically born Christian by virtue of our physical birth. That is a great misconception that many people have, that you can be born a Christian. If you are born into a Christian family, if you have Christian parents, a Christian father, a Christian mother, and you are born into that family, well, then you are born a Christian. But that is not what the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching here. He is saying we must be born again. He is speaking to a Jew, and a very high-ranking Jew. He is speaking to Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And this is what Nicodemus thought. Nicodemus thought that if you are born into the Jewish nation that is so privileged, the Jewish nation that in the Old Testament God blessed, if you are just physically born into that nation, then surely you must be right with God. And so this is why the Lord Jesus Christ has to come and say these things to him. You must be born again. This is not by virtue of a physical birth. It must be a spiritual birth. And this is why we have these words, so many words here. Verse 6, for example, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. In other words, a physical birth can only have physical value. You can only be born physically with an earthly nature, earthly joys, earthly pleasures, earthly appetites. But that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. You have to be born again. Born of the Spirit. Those who are born again, they have a spiritual birth. The Holy Spirit works in us. We have a spiritual nature that is inclined to spiritual things. We understand the Word of God. We understand even the deep things of God. This is how it is presented to us of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the Son of God. We must be born again. And this is the work of God. It is not the work of man. Man cannot engineer the new birth. And this is, again, what I often say and what I often declare in preaching and in prayers. A pastor, a preacher cannot convert a single person. I can preach as best I can. I can preach as eloquently as I can. I can preach as persuasively as I can. But I cannot actually save a soul. I cannot bring somebody from darkness to light. I cannot turn him from death to life. This is the work of God. This is something that God does. Now, of course, we are involved. There are means when somebody is saved. Of course, it is generally speaking through the Word of God. It can be through a witness of a Christian. Somebody can be saved. So there are means that God will employ. But God is not dependent on those means. He can work independently of those means. So, for example, we can pray. That's another means that we have. We can pray to the Lord and the Lord will answer our prayers. But it's always the Lord's will that will be done. It's not ours. For example, if I give you an example, if you are a Sunday school teacher, you can pray for your whole class to be saved. You can pray for all of them, each and every one, to come to know the Lord, to repent and have faith. Well, the Lord might save all of them, but he might only save one of them. It's God's will and it's God's work. You cannot undo that work. You cannot override it. It is God's will and his work. It's the new birth. It's a spiritual work. So we cannot engineer. We cannot engineer, and I think I said this last time, you cannot engineer the new birth or the conversion of a soul any more than you can control the wind. That's why we read in verse 8, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. In other words, you can't control the wind where it goes. It just blows where it wants to. It's outside of man's control. Well, the Holy Spirit is like that. It's not us. It's not us who does the work. It's God's work. And so this is what is presented to us. This is so very different, of course, to all the other religions. And again, I've mentioned this. The other religions, well, in some ways it's so easy to be converted perhaps to Hinduism or to Islam. Just say a few words. Just dress in this way or go to this place. You'll be Muslim, or you can be born into those religions. If you're born in a Muslim family, you're Muslim. But for Christianity, it doesn't work like that. It's God's work. It's God who decides. It's not the work of men. And this is what sets Christianity apart. And this is so very important. It's a wonderful thing. This is the true religion. This is the true work of God. God will have mercy on whom he will have mercy. So these are the types of things that we have been considering. And Nicodemus, who, as I have already mentioned, is a religious man, he cannot understand these things because he's only a religious man. He has not been born again. And in some ways even ridicules the Lord Jesus Christ is saying. He asks, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Well, Nicodemus is just like, well, really anybody who is not born again. You know, when you speak to somebody who is not born again, and they may well be religious, just like Nicodemus, they may well have a lot of understanding, they may well have a lot of knowledge. When you speak to them, you ask them, are you born again? Well, they act just like Nicodemus. They can't even understand the concept. What is this? What do you mean, born again? They just dismiss it as though it doesn't exist. Everybody who is not born again always dismisses the idea of being born again, because this is the limitation of their understanding. Nicodemus, he's typical of anyone who is not born of the Spirit. This is just ridiculous. A man can't be born when he is old. He can't go the second time into the womb. This is a typical reaction of somebody who is not truly born of the Spirit. They will hear these words. They will dismiss them. And this is so very sad. Note again also that he is a leader, a ruler of the Jews. He's a teacher of the Jews. And even in verse 9, Nicodemus again is perplexed and says to the Lord, how can these things be? I don't understand it, what you're saying about being born again and being born of the Spirit. Verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? This is meant to be a religious teacher. This is meant to be a holy man who is teaching many others, and yet he doesn't even know the fundamental of what it is to be saved, to be right with God. Dear friends, there are many teachers like this in the church even now. There are many ministers in, you could mention any number of denominations, but sadly there are many religious teachers and ministers and vicars and reverends and so on who are in this exact same position. They're not actually saved. And they will not teach the new birth. You know, when you go to churches, it is actually quite rare that you will hear anything about being born again. And why is that? Well, because a lot of the time, even the ministers are not born again. So how can they teach about the new birth? They won't. They will leave it to one side, and these things will be forgotten about. So he was a master of Israel. He was a teacher of many people, and yet he knew not these things. Sadly, well, there is nothing new under the sun. There are many ministers and many teachers nowadays teaching in churches. Even they don't know these things. And the congregation doesn't know these things. Half of the people who call themselves Christians, they don't even know that they have to be born again, because it's so seldom taught. But the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching these things, and we must take heed. But let us just begin to look at some of these verses again. I'm only going to go down to verse 13, but verse 11. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. And the Lord in these verses, he is going to establish himself as the authority on divine things, on spiritual things. We speak that we do know and testify that we have seen. Who is the we? Just before we get into the details, who are the we? We speak that we do know. Who is the Lord Jesus speaking about? Well, some of the commentators say that he is speaking about himself and John the Baptist, whose teaching was very well known at the time. Some people say that he's referring to himself and the Old Testament prophets, all those men of God who have taught, faithfully taught the Word of God. Some people suggest that this is speaking of Christ and the other two persons of the Godhead. You know that God is one, but within the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So perhaps this is referring to his divinity. But the focus really is, as I have already mentioned, the Lord is establishing himself as the authority on divine and spiritual things. He knows. We speak that we do know and testify that we have seen. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he speaks about spiritual things, about divine things, when he speaks about what it is to be saved, what it is to truly know God, he knows these things. He's not guessing at them. He's not speculating. It's not his opinion that may or may not be right, like the opinions of men. He actually knows these things. These things are right. These things are true. These things are correct. He knows what he is teaching. So he's faced here with Nicodemus. Nicodemus is doubting what he is saying. And the Lord is saying to him, Nicodemus, do you not know who I am? I know these things. I'm not saying this simply just to be religious and to say spiritual things. I know that this is true. And he testifies that we have seen. We speak that we do know and testify that we have seen. Why, it's like somebody going into a court of law, giving a testimony. Somebody goes into a court of law, they're a witness, they're a first-hand witness of something that has happened. And this is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the first-hand witness of spiritual things. He knows heavenly things. Nobody has taught him spiritual things. He's the second person of the triune Godhead. He's the Son of God, we shall read. He has come down from heaven. He's the witness of all these things. So he is the divine authority. And we bow to him and to his authority whenever he speaks of heavenly things. And yet, well, he is not believed. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. Even though the Lord Jesus Christ is from heaven, even though he knows that what he is saying is true and right, he is not believed. Nicodemus doubts him. The Jews, the Pharisees, the scribes would doubt him, just as they doubted the Old Testament prophets. They rejected them. And this again, well, it's the tragedy of men, isn't it? The same way in our modern time. The people, the masses, are so quick to believe everything else, anything else that perhaps is mentioned in the media, on the radio, TV, YouTube commentators will say things and declare things about all sorts of subjects. The public are so quick to believe them unquestioningly. But then you have the Son of God who actually knows what is right and what is true and what is of God. He knows these things, and yet this is the irony. We are so slow to believe him. We don't want to believe him. We'll believe everything else except God. This is what the Lord is explaining to us here. Ye receive not our witness. That is so tragic. And I trust that there is nobody here who behaves in such a way. But then verse 12, if I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? Well, this is quite a mysterious verse. Even the commentators, the old commentators, struggle in explaining what this verse means. If I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? Well, perhaps earthly things is referring to what the Lord Jesus Christ has just been saying about the new birth, because in a sense he has been using earthly things to explain what happens when we are saved. He's been speaking about birth. That is an earthly thing. And he uses birth to explain what it is to be saved. He's speaking about the wind blowing where it listeth. We can see and observe these things on earth. And so he's using these earthly illustrations to explain heavenly things. One commentator has explained it in this way, that the Lord, when he speaks about earthly things, he's actually speaking about our salvation and our regeneration, our new birth, as being something that takes place on this earth. And of course, that's true. When we are saved, it has to take place on this earth. If we die without being saved, it's too late. There is no new birth after death. There is no new birth in the grave. It has to happen on this earth. So perhaps it means that if I have told you earthly things, another commentator, just to add this, this can be applied. One other commentator said, earthly things talks about the easier things in the Christian faith. So things like salvation and what it is to be saved, that's very easy. We always say that even a child can understand it. What has Christ done? We are sinners, but instead of us being punished by God, Christ is our substitute. He takes our place. God punished him on the cross. We understand that. He has taken the punishment for our sin. It's so easy. It's like an earthly thing. Well, dear friends, we have to understand the earthly thing before we understand the more heavenly things, before we understand the deeper things of the Word of God. That's a correct principle, isn't it? Some people make the mistake. They try to understand the deep things of God without ever fully grasping what is the simple thing about our souls and about our salvation. You have to do that first. You have to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ first. And believe what he has done for you. I'm a sinner, but he died for me. That's a simple thing. If you believe that first, then you'll grasp the heavenly things. Then you'll grasp the deeper things about the atonement and about God's grace and how he deals with his people. You'll never fully understand it unless you understand salvation first, the simple thing. So start with the simple thing, and then you will understand heavenly things. So it's a mysterious verse, but well, that's at least one principle and one lesson that we can glean from it. If you're struggling, if you don't understand any of the doctrines of God, do you believe the simple thing, the earthly thing, as it were, the beginning thing that you must believe, that Christ has died for your sin? That is the way it works. You must grasp the gospel first. But then verse 13, and we'll end with this, looking at this verse, and no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Well, it's the same principle. We've already considered this. No other person, no other man has gone up to heaven and understood all of spiritual things, all of the divine things. It's only the Son of God who has come down from heaven, the Son of Man, which is in heaven. This is what the Lord is explaining to us. He is the authority on spiritual things. And this, just to end with this, this helps us remember once again that great principle that we have, that the things of God have to be revealed to us. Again, we cannot work them out. We cannot, by our own intuition or by our own speculation or guesswork, we cannot work out the things of God. We cannot work out how we are saved. We cannot work out how the Lord works and all of his sovereign dealings with us. These things have to be revealed to us. No man has gone up to heaven and seen these things for himself and works it out by himself. These things have to be taught to us, revealed to us. And how are they revealed to us? Through the Word of God. You cannot truly know God and the ways of God and the way of salvation without reading the Word of God, that which has been inspired for us, that which has been given to us. Without that, well, we are far from the Lord, because there is no other source of divine knowledge. There is no other source of divine authority. There are counterfeits. There are other books and other prophets who will claim to be a source of divine knowledge. But look at these words, no other man. There is no other who has ascended up to heaven, seen all things, understood all things, and has come down to reveal them. There is no other. It's only the Lord Jesus Christ. And we learn of spiritual things only through him, not through anybody else, not through anything other than the Holy Word of God. This is the great principle. Words that seem very complicated, and they are in one sense very profound, but really this is the very simple teaching. The Lord Jesus Christ, he is the master, he is the revealer of divine things, he is the author of divine things. And so we trust in him and in his word alone. Well, may the Lord bless these great and profound truths to us today.